Amen. Thank you. Thank you. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. How are you all doing this morning? Oh, we got our bag here. All right. Let's see what we've got. Now, what is this exactly? A bottle rocket. I'm going to keep this. I'm not giving this back. So what do you do with a bottle rocket? You light it on fire and then it goes off, right? You light the little wick here and then off it goes, right? This is fascinating. So today we're looking at Isaiah chapter 6, all right? Now Isaiah is a prophet in the Old Testament. And in Isaiah 6, we have God calling Isaiah to go and to share God's message with the people. And like a bottle rocket, God lights a fire under Isaiah, and off he goes to share. You didn't think I was going to be able to do it, did you? Ha-ha! Gotcha! And he goes and does those things that he needs to do. And interestingly enough, the message that Isaiah has is not a very positive message. It's a message of destruction. It's a message of falling short. And bottle rockets, I can't imagine, put things together. I would assume they're more destructive than anything. Sort of. So, but that's kind of what Isaiah does. Now, we have the opportunity not to be destructive. Now, hear that. But we have the opportunity every day to go and share God's love and to be his messengers and to be shot out, if you will, into the world. God lights a fire in us, and he kindles that fire through the Holy Spirit, and he tells us to go out and love others, doesn't he? And when we do that, sometimes it's messy, sometimes it's hard, sometimes we don't exactly know what's going on, right? But still, he calls us to love others as he loves us. So I want to encourage us this week, the next time you think about God sending us, think about a bottle rocket being sent off, shot out into the world to share God's love with others. All right, so your birthday's coming up, isn't it? I'm going to give you the bag. Since you got a birthday coming up, we'll give Thomas the bag, all right? And, man, that's a good one. I'm keeping this, though. Sorry, you can't have this bag. All right, let's pray, and then you guys can go to Children's Church. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you again for these children, for the opportunity we have to teach them and to learn from them. I thank you for the new gift I got in this bottle rocket and pray that you'll help me to use it in good health. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, see y'all. No, you can't have it. Scripture lesson this morning, as I alluded to just a moment ago, comes from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. I'll ask you to get the bottle rocket image just out of your mind, and we'll probably come back to that here in a little bit, but let's focus on the passage at hand. This is a favorite passage that was given to me. I believe, actually, it was Isaiah 6, 8 was the passage, but we're going to look at 1 through 8 to give us a little context. And again, today is Trinity Sunday, and we recognize the holiness of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So as we consider that this morning, let's hear now from God's Word, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a high and exalted throne, the edges of his robe filling the temple. Winged creatures were stationed around him. Each had six wings. With two they veiled their faces, with two their feet, and with two they flew about. They shouted to each other, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heavenly forces. All of the earth is filled with God's glory. The doorframe shook at the sound of their shouting, and the house was filled with smoke. I said, "Mourn for me, I'm ruined. I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live among a people with unclean lips. Yet I've seen the King, the Lord of heavenly forces." Then one of the winged creatures flew to me, holding a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt has departed, and your sin is removed." Then I heard the Lord's voice saying, "Whom should I send, and who will go for us?" I said, "I'm here. Send me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, we thank you again for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. Lord, for the words that you have given me to speak today, may they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. The passage before us this morning, as I alluded to just a few moments ago, is Isaiah's call. It's Isaiah's testimony, right? We love hearing people's testimony, and here we have Isaiah's documented in this book. And like Isaiah, each and every one of us have a call story. We have that moment or a varying degree of moments or a progression of moments where God is calling us and God is showing us his will for our lives. Each and every one of us in here have felt God's nudge at some time or another. We have felt his urging and we have responded. Now, sometimes we respond the way we're supposed to, as Isaiah does here. Other times we don't respond the way that we're supposed to. But we've all felt that call, and we've all responded to it throughout our lives. Now, Isaiah's call this morning is a very specific call. It's a very specific call to Isaiah. And we need to remember this morning that each one of our calls is specific to us. You are not called with the same calling that I am called with. I am not called with the same calling you are called with. You are not called with the same calling as the person next to you. Now, there's a general call of sharing God's love and grace to everyone, which we all share, but how we do that, how God has positioned us, where he has placed us, the personality he has given to us, all of these are unique to us. We've all been created uniquely to worship God in various ways, to share his love in the ways that he has gifted and graced us to do so. Often I think we read a passage like this and immediately we're kind of overwhelmed, and maybe you're saying, "I didn't experience anything like this at my call." And you can rest assured that neither did I. It was not some glorious experience like this. My call to ministry was very much the opposite of this. Who will go? I don't know. Ask that person over there. What are you talking to me for? And it was a while until I finally said, "All right, here I am. Send me gently, kindly." There's no specific way of being called this morning. But there is a specific God who calls us. This God is holy, 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 as we see in verse 3. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Trinity. 3 in 1. 1 in 3. Our God is perfect community. And God continues to invite us to be part of that community. Isaiah's call comes from the Lord who sits high and exalted on his throne, we see verse 1. There's a sense that Isaiah has entered this holy place, and we think back to the book of Job and this council of God that's called together. We think about the passages in Ezekiel and Revelation, these places and these events happening in this throne room. And the response that Isaiah gives to God in verse 8 is, "Here I am, send me." And we have to ask ourselves this morning, how does Isaiah get here? How does he get to this response, this positive response? And we have to think about how we have gotten to the positive responses we have given to God. And the thing that stands out the most in this passage is that Isaiah worships. And I think far too often we overlook the importance of worship and the importance of corporate worship. I would venture to guess that each of us in here have experienced God. And in those moments where we have experienced Him, there's probably been an element of corporate worship taking place. Maybe it's during corporate worship. Maybe it's immediately after a corporate worship setting or immediately before. But there's been that element of worship. It's where we learn about God in community. And Isaiah's worship leads him to confession. He says in verse 5, "I'm ruined. Mourn for me." Your passage may say, "Woe to me. I am a man of unclean lips, among a people of unclean lips." This confession of Isaiah's unworthiness leads then to forgiveness and the proclamation of his forgiveness in verses 6 and 7. The worship that we have should always lead to confession, because it's only after confession that we are prepared to receive anew God's forgiveness and God's call. It's only after we confess that He is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, after we confess our shortcomings and our failures, those are the times that we most clearly hear God. Because those are the times that we put our pride, our ego, our self aside and recognize who we are and who God is calling us to be. This call of Isaiah was to speak God's word to Israel. Our call today is to be with God, to share God's love with others. The picture that we have here on the screen this morning is an icon that was drawn by a Russian iconographer named Andrei Rublev. This was done several years ago, and he, I believe, has since passed. If you Google Andrei Rublev and put "seat at the table" or "Trinity," this is what's going to come up. And you can see here we have representations of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You'll see that tree in the back. Andrei is drawing very specifically the picture of when the angels came to visit Abraham to tell him of the birth of his son, to tell him who he was going to be as the father of many nations. And you'll notice right there in the front of the table, there's a space, and it's open. There are only around three sides of this table. And the implication is for us to come to the table. The call of God is for us to come to the table, to come and to join God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So often it's difficult for us to, I think, grasp the idea of the Trinity, because it's a very confusing thing. But I offer this to you as a way to maybe make it a little easier. God here calling us to the table, calling us to be part of His community, calling us to come and be with Him so that we might then in turn go and call others. You see, it's not enough simply to introduce people to God. It's our call to help them understand and know God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the best way for us to do that is to be with God, to spend time with Him ourselves in worship, confessing and proclaiming and praising God in all that we say and all that we do. And it's a difficult task. It's a daunting task, but it is a rewarding task. It is a task that reminds us of our forgiveness, the mercy and grace of God in our midst. And so who is God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? How does God show Himself in this passage? In verse 1, we see the robes filling the temple and winged creatures surrounding this throne. And we know that it is the Father here who is seated on the throne. Because, of course, we know that Jesus says he's going to the right side of his Father's throne at his ascension. And the winged creatures are around him, and they are praising him, and they are offering him all of who they are. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The Father sits on the throne as the creator of the universe. He has formed us, each and every one of us, and has shown us his glory in creation. He continues to show us his glory in the giving and the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die and rise again and ascend on the third day. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he continues to reveal himself to us. It's the Father who fills the earth with his glory. It's the Father who proclaims creation as good. It's the Father who calls us and sets us apart for the various tasks he has enabled us to do. It's the Son, then, Jesus Christ, known as the Word in John, who says, "Whom should I send and who will go for us?" in verse 8. You see, it's through the Son, of course, Jesus Christ, that we are forgiven, that we are set free. He is not only the coal here that cleanses Isaiah's lips, he is the one who gives pardon. These coals were there at the altar, implying that there was going to be a sacrifice of some kind, and we know, of course, who the Lamb of God is, the Son, Jesus Christ, who was sent to die on our behalf. The Son, then, is the one who sends us out to proclaim the gospel to the world. As he has come and has answered that call of God, as Isaiah has come and answered that call of God, so now we are sent out, right? Matthew 28, go and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. And Jesus says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. It is the Son who sends us out, and he does not send us out as one who has not gone himself, but he sends us out as the example of one who has been sent and who is doing the work and the ministry called to by the Father. I think the Great Commission in Matthew finds its roots very deeply here in Isaiah, and we have this call because we have Isaiah answering his call, and we can continue to see the progression of God's redeeming work throughout history. It is the Holy Spirit, then, who inspired the praise of the winged creatures in verse 3. He works as the inspiration as they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heavenly forces. All the earth is filled with God's glory." The Holy Spirit inspires the responses of love. It's the Holy Spirit who has inspired God to love us, and it is the Holy Spirit who inspires us to love God in return, to respond to God as he has so graciously responded to us with life and with salvation. It's the Holy Spirit who enabled the winged creatures to praise God, who enabled Isaiah to see what he was seeing, who enabled Isaiah to call out in confession and to receive that forgiveness. And it's also the Holy Spirit who convicts us of our need for forgiveness. Isaiah's response is powered by the Holy Spirit. Our response is powered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit continues to move and to work in our midst each and every day. You'll see the bowl that's there in the empty space, that provision of God for each and every one of us, wanting, desiring to take care of us if only we will allow him to do so. If we will recognize that he is our Father, he is the creator and the designer of all things. If we will recognize that he is the Son, the Word, the one who has forgiven us and made that forgiveness possible, if we will recognize the Holy Spirit as the motivation and the inspiration of that love, the very reason that we are able to respond to God as Isaiah has responded. Isaiah says, "I'm here. Send me." And I wonder this morning, what is the voice of the Lord calling you to today? What is the voice of the Lord saying? Whom should I send? Who will go for us? I admit that this is a difficult question to answer. It's frightening, it's scary. We have no sense of really what we're getting ourselves into, but that's also what makes it exciting and fun from time to time. So I want to encourage us today to consider where God is sending us, who He is calling us to be. Let's be mindful of the unique abilities and talents that we have. And as we consider and as we hear the call of God, may we confess our shortcomings. May we confess Him as Lord. May we continue to receive that forgiveness and then go where we are sent. Because it is vital. It is important. It is who God calls us to be. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Gracious God, we thank You so very much for this day. We thank You for the call of Isaiah, the call of all of those who answered in the stories we have in Scripture. We thank You that none of them were perfect, and so therefore we recognize that we are not perfect, but we are called nonetheless. Lord, forgive us where we fall short, where we ignore You, where we say no to Your call. Give us the courage and the strength of Isaiah to say, "I'm here, send me." May we go where we are sent, whether it be around the world, whether it be next door, whether it be to the person immediately to the right or left of us. Lord, wherever You are sending, however You are calling, help us to hear You, to know You, and to trust You. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.